Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name's Keith Greer. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening. We also have a very extensive website. It has these radio programs and MP3 files and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. You'll also find some information about us out there. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You always will be warmly received. We want nothing from you except to study God's Word and to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. Today, we're going to conclude the second part of our proposition that we began a few weeks ago in dealing with the deity and humanity of Jesus. We're going to conclude this morning our subject by looking at the final part of the humanity of Jesus. If you remember, last Lord's Day, I read two verses. I want to read those again today as we begin our study. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but with all points tempted as we are, yet without sin," Hebrews 4:15. And then in James 1 and verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Now, these seem like contradictions because we've already proved in the first part of our series that Jesus was God, he was deity. So how do we reconcile these two verses? Before I do that, let me read you a couple statements that some have written that misunderstand and assume by falsely not examining the evidence. Here's one. It says, "But God is faithful, fulfills what he promises, cannot lie, told us that Jesus would not sin, would not fail, and that the basis of our trust in him was that just dumb luck, blind chance that came out the way it did because God planned it that way. Of course not. Based on those facts, Jesus could not have sinned any more than the Father could have sinned. All who deny that deny God." The second statement I'd like to read says, "Still some today, even of his own disciples, have felt that the sinless perfection of Jesus is somehow flawed by his deity, even though the scripture plainly states that his temptations were the same as ours," Hebrews 4:15, "we find it difficult to believe that he did, and he did not have an advantage over us because we're mere men." Then another statement said, "Did the Holy Spirit contradict his own words and nature by putting Jesus into a potentially sinful situation? No, the temptations of Christ was not for his benefit, it was for ours," Hebrews 4:15. Jesus affirms that his mission would not fail, that he came to save the world. That being the truth, it's not possible for him to lie, then it was not possible for him to fail. We may well ask people even today, Jesus seeing Jesus could not speak the truth. All these individuals believe that it's impossible because it was prophesied and because Jesus cannot lie, because God cannot lie, that he would die for the sin of the world, therefore he could not sin. Now, these men and many others that we could list believe that since the prophets prophesied that Jesus would be perfect, be a sinless sacrifice, then he could not have sinned. They go into great detail discussing lust, enticement, temptation. Then they want to ask dumb questions like, well, was he tempted to be a homosexual? Was he tempted to commit fornication? Are all men tempted to be homosexual? Are all men tempted to commit adultery? Do all men have the temptation to drink or to gamble? Such reasoning is foolishness. All men are tempted by their own weaknesses and desires. Some believe that Jesus was tempted, but had no lust or enticement to commit sin. If that's true, then he really wasn't tempted. Some believe This is why he could not sin, because he could not have lust or be enticed. In other words, God said that he would be perfect. It was a done deal. One problem, does foreknowledge take away free choice? Because something is foreknown, because it's prophesied, that does take away free choice. Let me give you a couple of examples. What about Judas? In Psalms 41, verse 9, the psalmist said a friend would betray the Lord. Did this mean that Judas didn't have a choice, that he had to betray the Lord, that he had no choice, that he had to be the person that turned the Lord over to the enemies? No, because in Matthew 27, he tried to undo it. He tried to give the money back because he knew he made a mistake. You see, he had free choice. He wasn't made to do it. Just because it prophesied didn't mean that he didn't have a choice. The prophets knew Judas' weakness, and it was covetousness. He had a greedy heart, and that would do him in. What about Isaiah 53? It foretold of the death of Christ on the cross. Did this mean the Jews had no other choice but to deliver him up? Is that what it means? Does it mean that they didn't have a choice? They had to deliver him? Even if they believed that he was the Son of God, they had to turn him over because they had to fulfill prophecy. That's false, and that's an assumption. Was Jesus tempted? Matthew 4, verse 1 through 11, Luke chapter 4, both show by evidence, by the inspired word of God, that Jesus was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. In all ways, what does that mean? That means the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He was tempted in all of those ways. Now, answer these questions. If Jesus could not be tempted, now how do we answer these? Could he be our example? If he did have to overcome Satan as a man, how could he be our example if he couldn't do it? If he had to use his deity in order to do it? How could he be our example in 1 Peter 2:21? Could he be the last Adam? Could he really be the last Adam, as 1 Corinthians 15:45 tells us, if he could not have sinned? Could he have truly defeated the works of the devil? That's what he was sent to do. 1 John 3, verse 8. What's the greatest work of the devil? Sin, to destroy man. If he really couldn't defeat that, then how do we answer that? And was Jesus a man subject to the weaknesses of all men? And how did he defeat Satan? I know how he defeated Satan. He defeated Satan by the word of God. Go back and read the two accounts of his temptation in the wilderness, in Matthew and in Luke. What did he say? What did he say when he was tempted? Man shall not live by every word. It is written. That's how he defeated Satan. He defeated Satan by the truth, by the words of truth. Why did he do it that way? Because that's how we defeat Satan. We defeat Satan by truth. Now let's go back for just a moment to the two verses I mentioned in the beginning. In Hebrews 4, he was tempted in all ways like as we, without sin. That means lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. In James 1, verse 13, it says that God cannot be tempted, neither does he tempt anyone with evil, because God can't be tempted. All right? How do we reconcile that? Jesus was God and he was man. You know how we reconcile it? He wasn't tempted as God. He was tempted as man. Food, that would be a temptation to the flesh, not to deity, not to the spirit. God's the spirit in John 4. Turning stones into bread wouldn't be a temptation for God because he's a spirit. That was a temptation of the flesh. Jumping off the pinnacle of the temple to get hurt physically. You can't hurt God. He's a spirit. You can't hurt him in a physical way. And so that would be a temptation for the physical. And then what about the last temptation? What about if he bowed down and worshiped Satan, that he would give him all the kingdoms of the world? That was the temptation of the pride. You know why? Because Satan was offering him a shortcut to the cross. He didn't have to endure the cross. He didn't have to go through the death and the resurrection. He could bypass all that. Simply by worshiping Satan, he would give him what he would be received from the Father after his resurrection and after ascending back to the Father. And he could avoid all that by just worshiping Satan, bowing down and worshiping him. You see? Here's the point. The point is he was tempted as a man. He was not tempted as God. He overcame sin by as a man overcome sin. He showed that we can live above sin. Why was he able to do it and not us? Well, a lot of people will argue that he had an advantage because he was God. No, the only advantage he had is he had deep-rooted faith. He had a working and a believing and an obedient faith. And he didn't yield to temptation because he used his faith. We have the same ability. We can say no to sin. The reason we don't is because we're weak and frail. But we're not deity. If Jesus needed his deity in order to overcome sin, he can't be my example. He can't help me because I'm not deity. You're not deity. But he is my example. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 24 teaches that. And he's my example how to overcome sin. You say no. You put your faith to work. You overcome him by the word of God. That was the example. You see, he was both God and man. Tempted as man, not tempted as God. That reconciles Hebrews 4, 15 and James chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, what conclusion can we reach, ladies and gentlemen? Jesus of Nazareth was indeed a man just like us, yet so much more. Why? He existed before us in heaven with his Father. Read the Genesis creation account. None of this takes away from the quality of being a man, being fully flesh and blood. Read Philippians 2, verse 8 through 11. He was made a little lower than the angels, Hebrews 2, 7 and 8. Jesus was fully man and fully God, period. Now, I heard one fellow one time say, well, if he's 100% man and he's 100% God, then that means 200%. That's impossible. Yeah, that would be impossible. We were just talking about a man. We were just talking about a human being. But we're not just talking about a human being. We're talking about the Son of God and the Son of Man. Just accept it and believe it. We would do well to leave alone what we can neither explain, prove, or comprehend and understand. How did he keep the two separate? Did he use all of his attributes as deity? How did God dwell in a mortal body? Do I have the answers to the ability to understand the answers to these questions and many others that others could ask? What do you think? Was Jesus the Son of God? And was he the Son of Man? Yes, he was both. He proved both by his actions and by the things that he did while he was on earth. Why did he have to overcome sin like all men? How's he going to help us? How's he going to show us how to overcome sin? How's he going to give us the answer and the remedy to overcome sin if he couldn't do it himself? He had to experience the things that man experiences in order to show him that he did not have to say yes to sin, that he could say no. He could overcome it, and he could defeat it. Jesus did, and he did it as a man, not as God, as a man. And so what conclusion do I reach, ladies and gentlemen? I confess to you, and I believe, teach, and practice, Jesus was the Son of God. He was deity. He was also man, fully man. The scriptures teach both. I believe both. The evidence is overwhelming. He was both deity and he was God in the flesh, and he was man in every sense of the word.